This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Sometimes searching for the right doctor is like a bad Mad Libs. You need a blank specialist who takes your blank insurance, who is within blank miles of you, who doesn't have a blank month wait to get in for an appointment. Well, ZocDoc makes it easy to fill in those blanks to help you find the right doctor for your specific needs. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare high-quality in-network doctors and choose the right one for your needs. You click instantly to book an appointment. We're talking about in-network appointments with more than 100,000 healthcare providers across every single specialty, from mental health to dental health, from eye care to skin care, and much more. Plus, ZocDoc appointments happen fast, typically within 24 to 72 hours of booking. You can even score same-day appointments. I have used ZocDoc for years between moving to new places and having to find new doctors and having kids and needing to find doctors or dentists for them. It's just been such a good resource to locate ones that have good reviews and I can see, you know, have good wait times, that kind of thing. I use it, highly recommend it. So stop putting off those doctor's appointments and go to ZocDoc.com/too scary to find and instantly book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/too scary. ZocDoc.com/too scary.
This is Emily,
Henley,
and Sammy, and you're listening to Too Scary, Didn't Watch.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Too Scary Didn't Watch, the horror movie recap podcast for those too scared to watch for themselves. I'm Emily, and I am too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Henley, and I'm also too scared to watch scary movies.
I'm Sammy, and I love watching scary movies, and so I watch them so that you don't have to. And I'm back. I'm happy to be with my friends.
It feels like it's been so long, Sammy.
It really so does, because long. It was like right after Thanksgiving, and so we didn't record that week either.
Too long. I don't like it one little bit. Don't ever let this happen ever again.
I promise.
You have my word. Cross my heart. Hope to die.
If you ever travel again, I will be so mad.
Never again. Never again. And we are, today's going to be an easy one, folks.
Oh, yeah.
Easy breezy.
Nice, frictionless. Easy breezy, frictionless episode for you today. And if you want to jump right to it, we have timestamps in the show notes, because first we have a little bit of haunted housekeeping.
Yes.
Which is that we have our poltergeist style t-shirt available for sale, for purchase. If you want to buy it, it is at bonfire.com/TSDW. This was our, I can't remember when we first sold it, but it was designed by Ella Tolkien, who also designed our cover art. Mm-hmm. And just a great shirt.
It's a great shirt. You could do short sleeves. You could do long sleeves. You could do a freaking crew neck sweatshirt.
Oh, yeah. Keep you nice and warm and toasty this winter in that crew neck sweatshirt.
You could layer all three if you're not sure what the temp is going to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You could put the long sleeve under the short sleeve or vice versa. But the crew neck has to be on top no matter which of those you do.
Don't be nuts. Put the crew neck on top.
Don't be crazy.
Let's all just calm down.
Oh, I missed you guys.
We missed you.
And I have to know, did anything scary happen to you this week in my absence?
Oh, my God.
Without me there to protect you?
Yeah. I know, it's hard. The cloud of you not being there, you just cast such a big shadow over everything. Everything seems scary. I guess I'll just say I decided I wanted to watch movies this month, which is, well, you know, whoa. Mm-hmm. But I had a moment of motivation.
Movies you haven't seen before.
Movies I haven't seen. Yeah, important distinction.
That's
thank you. Yeah, important movies. And particularly long movies. Movies that I have like not seen because they're too long.
Yep.
Or that are going to be too good. And so I'm like, well, I can't take that in. My brain can't take that in. I was like, you know what? I don't know. It's December. I've got more time on my hands for reasons I'll get into later. The sun sets earlier. I was like, you know what? I can do it. I can watch some. Let's watch some movies. I made a whole list, and then I haven't touched that. I just hadn't touched that list because it's like
I want to know what that list is because I always want that list in my life.
Well, guess what? Last night I stuck to my freaking guns.
Oh yeah.
I was going to make Joel watch The Family Stone, something, guess what, I have seen many times. But I was like, no, we can watch that closer to Christmas. Let's watch a movie on the list. And I did it. And I freaking watched Poor Things, finally.
Ooh. Oh, I've actually seen Poor Things. I haven't seen, like, any movies, but I have seen Poor Things.
So I guess what's scary is, like, I got to watch the rest of these movies because it was so good.
Yeah.
Movies are so good.
Right.
I really couldn't think about anything but you at all of those outfits. I was just
these
outfits were made for Emily to see.
The outfits, everything about it, I was like, how have I not been obsessed with this since the second? I mean, I've seen the outfits and have been obsessed with those, but I just, yeah, just being immersed in it. All the aesthetics, those sets, the colors, oh my God. I want to like curl up inside every part of it. And it was also just so good. Like, it's just, movies are really good. And that's scary because there's so many I haven't seen. And I guess I have to see them now.
Poor Things, I felt like I wanted to like scream at the top of my lungs afterwards about how weirdly puritanical we are in our culture about sex. It was like such a reminder that like, oh yeah, women like feel pleasure and that's okay. And we like never talk about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, so.
Well, and that a sexual awakening is like empowering for a woman.
Right. Exactly.
That if you're in control of it and you can choose how it happens and decide how and when you want sex, it can teach you about yourself.
Yeah. Yes. And make you a powerful person. Oh my God.
God damn it. Again, I know she won the freaking Oscar for it. I'm way behind the times, but God damn it. Is she good?
She's great.
She's fucking good.
And yeah, I just need to like make 20 giant sleeves now. All I want to do is make big sleeves.
Those short little skirts.
Short little skirts, flowy little silk shorts and big sleeves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And little boots.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to grow my hair 12 feet long.
Yeah.
I was like, God damn it, why did I cut my hair? Anyway, I'll send you my list, hon, but be prepared. There are a lot of long movies on it.
No, I really want that list because anytime I've felt that feeling, I get immediately overwhelmed. I'm like, I don't know which to choose.
Yeah, you've got to have a list. There's simply no way you can go into the ether of the apps, the streaming apps.
You can't do it. You have to have a list and then use your list to go, where is it streaming? Yeah. You can't go the other way around.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, I don't think I've ever, almost ever in my life, been browsing on a streaming app and like, found something
pick,
to watch
pick something,
that I
yeah.
want to watch.
Yeah.
I don't think it that's ever happen. Happened.
I don't think any, yeah, I don't think anybody ever has done that.
I don't think it's ever happened to anyone.
not one single person in the whole world.
Okay. Well, speaking of female empowerment, I have something to talk about too.
Oh,
amazing.
Which is, my mom visited last week. We went to go see Suffs, the musical on Broadway. Have you guys heard of this?
My sister saw it and loved it.
Suffs.
Loved it. Can't stop talking
Could
about
you
it.
Spell that for me.
S-U-F-F-S.
Okay.
It's short for suffragette. Well, okay, yeah, okay. Suffragist. So this is something I learned. Well, I'll get into that. So so this is a musical written by Shayna Taub. It's won a bunch of Tonys. It's only up until January 5th. So if you can see it in the next few weeks, see it.
So I've heard. My sister was like, can you get to New York before January 5th? They loved it. And I was like, I don't think that I can.
That's pretty unlikely.
I'll have to catch it on the tour.
Well, part of also what made it so incredible to me anyway was Shayna Taub performing in it. She's also the main character, Alice Paul. She portrays Alice Paul. And her voice is so unique. I'm not really a musical theater person, but I have like kind of a caricature idea of what a musical theater voice sounds like.
Mm-hmm.
And her voice is so powerful and it's very clear, but it has like a kind of character to it, like a kind of nuance to it. It's almost like a country voice. It's there's something about it that I can't put my finger on, but it made it so, at least for me, I just really enjoyed hearing her sing. Mm. She's also been working on this musical for like 14 years. And so it's
perfect. Like, it is perfect. A lot of the actresses, it's all women in it. A lot of the actresses have also been working on it for a really long time together. So they've all just done it so many times. It's like really just so, so perfect. So I don't know. And I mean, yeah, it's
wow.
It's about the suffragist movement. One thing I didn't know is that the newspapers coined them suffragettes to try to belittle them.
Yeah, because it's like a rocket, exactly. A little like a pipette. It's all like a little cutie. I can't think of any other words that end with "ette," but
exactly, coquette. Yeah, instead of it like an abolitionist or, you know, any other kind of activist suffragist, they renamed them suffragettes. And in my brain, still to this day, I think of them as suffragettes. What the fuck is that?
That's what we were taught.
Isn't that crazy? So, and also I didn't realize that the musical starts in 1913. And by then they had already been campaigning for the right to vote for 60 years.
Duh.
60 years. And so.
And they wouldn't get the access to credit cards for another 70.
I know. Not till 1975 or something.
Can't get their own freaking bank accounts.
Yeah. So it was, I don't know. I think the main thing for me was Shayna Taub. I was like, holy shit, I'm going to follow your career so closely. I then looked her up and she's like such a dweeb and she plays the accordion. She Ooh. Is so funny. She's like a political activist playing the accordion, like a 5'3", like powerhouse woman. And I'm just like, whoa, you're so funny to me. And I fucking love you. I'm obsessed with you.
Love that feeling.
Anyway, so I guess the sad thing is that it took me as a 34-year-old woman watching a Broadway musical to like learn anything about women's right to vote. I like didn't know anything about it until I watched the musical. And shit, like she was imprisoned and went on a hunger strike and was force-fed. And like, there's a lot of violent, fucked up things that happened in order for women to get the right to vote. And it's all been pretty whitewashed, I'd say. So,
well, we've done a really good job with it this time around, all the women.
This isn't a commentary.
Take it away. I'm this just isn't our, kidding. What am I saying?
This isn't a commentary on our current political system. No. I'm not trying to say anything about that.
Why could I do that? Also, I'm only scorning white women. Let's, you know, black women did a fucking great job as always. Anyway.
That's also addressed. They address like, you know, the importance of intersectional feminism. And it's like a huge sadness in the musical too, is the fact that like, you know, these black women campaigned just as hard, but like they were not going to have the same rights as the white women were. And it's just really fucked up. And anyway, the musical is great.
I'm sad that it's closing so soon.
Me too. Maybe that will change, but right now I think it is.
It's a hard time on Broadway right now. It's a hard time for
not for Cola Scola. I want to see O Mary so badly.
I want to see O Mary as
I'm
well.
So excited that Betty Gilpin is going to be playing. I fucking love Betty Gilpin, and I just am excited by mm-hmm. that casting choice. I'm like, me it was Cola Scola, and now it's Betty Gilpin. Like, what are we going to be doing there?
It's like the KFC commercials.
Yes. Yeah, I guess anybody can be KFC. Wait, he's not KFC. He's Colonel Sanders.
I couldn't remember Colonel
Mr.
Sanders' name.
Kentucky Fried Chicken. Mr. Anyway,
Sammy, what about you?
Well, speaking of female empowerment again, I'm going to talk about a man. Take us a different direction.
Where would we women be without men?
For those who don't know, I was in Portugal for the past week visiting my mom for her 60th birthday.
Happy birthday, Nikki.
We love you. And on the flight back, I just was shocked and amazed at the man sitting behind me on a flight from Lisbon to Toronto. So this was an 8-hour flight.
Uh-oh, I'm scared.
He was flying with what looked to be about a 3 or 4-year-old girl and about a 1-year-old and a cat.
That is my worst nightmare.
His 3-year-old daughter was just absolutely slamming the back of my seat the whole flight long. And I was just like, you know what? I'm going to just let it happen. Like, I
can't. This guy's got a lot to deal with. I can't
believe that this guy. And you know what? He didn't seem that stressed. And I was really, really impressed.
Was the cat fully drugged? Was the cat just like asleep? Or is the cat making a lot of noise?
The cat was making a lot of noise. So even flying with one cat is a nightmare. To
one child, too much.
Yeah. Yeah. I just couldn't believe my eyes. This dad flying solo with two children and a cat.
Maybe he was drugged out of his mind. That's the only way I can imagine getting through that experience.
I
hope so.
Did I tell the story on the podcast of the cat that took a shit on a flight that Joel and I were on?
I think so. Or at least I remember you telling me. I don't know if it was on the podcast or not.
Yeah, listeners, I can't remember. Reply. If I haven't told it, I'll tell it another time. It was one of the craziest experiences of my life. Cats on a flight, it's a lot.
And an 8-hour flight, like when that cat's probably going to poop at some point.
I mean, you were right in front of him. You should have known, I guess.
I didn't smell anything.
So. Mm-hmm.
But he definitely was going meow, meow, meow for a lot of the flight. And dad was nonplussed, just kind of.
What can you do?
Carrying his baby up and down the aisle every so often.
Leaving the cat to watch the 3-year-old. <laughs> <laughs> Guys, take care of each other. I got to walk around.
It was really, really wild. And I, you know, am very blessed to travel. I love traveling. It's very fun. And I know not everybody gets to do it. But my God, long flights are really, really tough.
Really tough.
That flight.
Was it an overnight flight?
No,
during the day.
It was during the day. I left in the morning from Lisbon to Toronto and then from Toronto to LA and was in a plane for 13 hours. And it's just a long time to be sitting in one spot.
It's really long.
It's a long time.
And I'm also I'm a window seat person who kind of shuts my body off. So I don't stand up and walk around ever. I just sit.
That's amazing to me that you're able to do that. I feel like I have to pee more on a flight than ever in my life otherwise. Like I always have to get up and pee because I'm like so scared that I won't have the opportunity. I don't know.
I know that feeling. I don't know what it is. I'm a window seat person too, but I'm always like paying attention to who's standing up, because if anyone's standing up in my aisle, I'm standing up too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you gotta see.
Taking advantage of the opportunity. Yeah. But anyways, shout out to that guy. Men are incredible.
Men are amazing.
No notes.
God, what men can do.
Men are incredible. It's just the patriarchy we have a problem with.
Yes.
That is true.
We do. We love men.
We do.
As long as they're not murdering us, we're good with it.
That's the only one thing they could do to make us mad.
Look, the bar is very low. Just don't murder us.
Don't even try. Don't even
try.
That's all we ask.
Let me live, man. Wow, what a hero. A hero. You love to see it.
Speaking of heroes, someone freaking watched a scary someone movie here. For
it's
us
so
this
scary.
Week.
You
a
guys
really
ready for this?
Scary one. Henley, what are we doing?
Hold on to your butts. Okay, so we are doing Tim Burton's The Nightmare Before Christmas,
Woo!
The 1993 American Gothic stop motion animated musical fantasy film. Have you guys heard of it?
Wow.
Henley, I feel like you're our resident Tim Burton,
you're a Burton head expert.
So this is not on purpose, but I gotta say, finding horror movies that are not too scary, not a lot of options, but Tim Burton does offer
up a
few.
Tim Burton is really
he
in
does,
that camp
yeah.
for sure.
We've also gone through a lot of the ones that we can handle, you and me. We've been doing this a long time, and I felt the same way when I was choosing the movie recently. I was like, I think we've done all the ones I want
to
watch.
I quoted you to Tim because we were looking for a movie to watch, and I was like, fuck, Emily just said this to me like last week, but she was like, I was looking for a movie and I realized I think I hate horror movies. And I was like, I'm
Julie
feeling
got
that
so
right now.
Mad. Why would I want to watch any of this? Like, great selection though, Anne. I used to be very scared of this movie. I will admit, as a child, I found this movie to be very scary.
So I have seen this movie so many times and I don't know why or how, because it is fucked up. Like, it is.
Tim Burton's a little freak.
He is such a freak. Like, it's so easy to watch as an adult, but as a little kid, it is not okay. Like, little kids should not be watching this movie. It is really dark.
I was really scared of Beetlejuice too as a kid. Yeah, all his shit freaked me out.
Yeah, I want to see Beetlejuice again. I haven't seen that in forever. I'm curious about
that. Well, save it. Save it, Hen. It'll be another one that you can do. It. Good idea.
Henley, I do want to say that I feel like the more frictionless of a movie you choose, I feel compelled to do a more friction-filled episode to make up for it. So I've got an idea for next week. And
oh, I know that the combo of Single White Female and Nightmare Before Christmas, I was like, oh no, Sammy's going to really, really hit us hard.
No, I'm not strong enough. Oh, no, it's okay. I can build up strength between now and then. I just have to really meditate on that.
Yeah, yeah, just meditate on that.
Okay. Wait, Sammy, have you I'm holding space. Sammy, have you seen this movie?
I have, yes. I don't remember being too scared of it as a kid, except for I feel like the mayor kind of sticks out to me as being kind of scary. Yeah.
The mayor's scary. I mean, that's how I was feeling when I was watching. I texted you guys to make sure I hadn't already recapped it because I have seen this movie so many times. Like, it is so deeply familiar to me. I was watching this as a child. What? It is scary.
Would you watch it more often during Christmas time or during Halloween time?
I don't even know when I was watching
this.
In
my mind, it's Halloween-y.
I think I was.
But I also
I don't know.
I'm not super familiar with it, to be honest, because it scared me too much as a kid. I've definitely like seen it, but I don't think I could really tell you the plot.
Okay, well, that's what I'm going to do right now.
But that's what you're going to do. I know. Yeah, thank God I don't have to tell you the plot because I couldn't.
All right, so it came out in 1993. It's a budget of $18 million. It made $107 million. It's only an hour and 16 minutes long, so it's a short one.
Love that. They wouldn't do that anymore.
Mm-mm. It was directed by Henry Selick. It's written by Tim Burton, Michael McDowell, and Caroline Thompson, and it stars...
Oh, it wasn't directed by Tim Burton, huh?
Surprising.
No, he was too busy with, like, Batman Returns or something.
Great movie.
And actually created, I did do some reading, it created a lot of drama between Tim Burton and Henry Selick, because...
I could see that.
Both of them felt ownership over it for different reasons.
Yeah, that'd be tough.
It stars Danny Elfman, Chris Sarandon, and Catherine O'Hara. She is the voice of the main woman in it. Yep. So that's fun.
Sally.
So some trivia for us. The Nightmare Before Christmas originated as a poem written by Tim Burton in 1982 while he was working as an animator at Walt Disney Productions. So came from a poem. In 2023, the film was selected for preservation in the United States National Film Registry by the Library of Congress as being culturally, historically, or aesthetically significant.
Mm.
So... this is an important film.
Do you know what I'm actually my biggest touchstone for The Nightmare Before Christmas, like where it most lives in my memory, is how they do the Haunted Mansion at Christmas time be Nightmare Before Christmas. Mm-hmm. I know that so much more than I know the actual plot of this movie.
You probably know the whole movie then. The plot doesn't matter so much.
I know what the characters look like. And yes. I got to say, maybe this is a controversial opinion. I like regular old Haunted Mansion better. I don't like when it's Nightmare Before Christmasified. I like the regular old ghosts.
Wow, Tim Burton is so mad at you right now.
Sorry, man.
It took a group of around 100 people 3 years to complete this movie. For 1 second of film, up to 12 stop motion moves had to be made.
Stop motion is wild.
So much work. And then despite pushback from Disney, Tim Burton and Henry Selick fought against animating Jack Skellington, that's the main character, animating his eyes. So Burton had said the first rule of drawn animation is that you have to have eyes for expression, but I thought it would be great to give life to these characters with no eyes. So Disney really fought for us to give them these friendly eyes, but we wouldn't budge, and he just has dark holes in his head. So... I didn't even notice that. I read that afterwards.
What do his eyes look like?
I was like, oh, right. I didn't have eyes. I didn't even think about that. And he's a skeleton.
But
like,
they still kind of move, right? With like expressions.
I feel like eyebrows.
The skull kind of contorts as if it's eyebrows.
Yes, 100%. His eyebrows like go up and down. I think his eyes like move, but they are just dark holes. Mm-hmm. And also, this is the craziest part to me, despite being considered a villain by many fans, Tim Burton does not consider Oogie Boogie evil. Oogie Boogie is fucked up, you guys, and I cannot believe that Tim Burton. Oogie Boogie is something from the deepest, darkest depths of my nightmares, so.
We'll get there, I guess.
I do remember that being a little scary. He sings a song, an Oogie Boogie song.
Yeah, it's a very jazzy song. And this is a musical, which I'd also forgotten until I started watching it. And I was like, oh, God damn it.
News to me.
Fucking recap a fucking musical. God damn it.
You have to sing. You have to sing.
And then lastly, this is the first fully animated Disney film not to be traditionally animated. Okay, and that's it.
Let's do it.
Okay.
If you're spending time with loved ones for the holidays, chances are you're going to hear a lot of stories. The ones you love to hear and the ones you've heard too many times. But have you ever wanted to help your loved ones capture those timeless stories, not just for themselves, but for you, your entire family, and future generations? It can seem daunting to write an entire book of life memories, but StoryWorth makes it fun and easy. Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick. Things like, what's the bravest thing you've ever done? What's the furthest you've ever traveled? Or how did you used to get to school every day? StoryWorth makes the writing process a breeze. All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. After a year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come. I have gotten StoryWorth for my dad, and I am so excited to be able to look back at those stories in his own words and be able to read them with my nephews, with other family members, and keep those stories going. Families love StoryWorth. That's why it has more than 35,000 five-star reviews on Trustpilot, with millions of stories preserved since they were founded over 10 years ago. Help your family members share and capture their stories this holiday season with StoryWorth. Go to StoryWorth.com/TooScary today and save $10 on your first purchase. That's StoryWorth.com/TooScary to save $10 on your first purchase. StoryWorth.com/TooScary.
We all know that holiday shopping can be overwhelming. My love language is gift giving, and so if you're like me, you want to find the perfect gift for everybody on your list, and this year, I think that I've done it, thanks to the Skims Holiday Shop. Okay, now everybody knows the classic holiday tradition of matching pajamas. You've probably gotten matching pajamas as previous holiday gifts, but they were probably kind of scratchy and uncomfortable and maybe a little bit ugly. Well, great news. Skims Soft Lounge Sleep Set is a soft, comfortable, sexy matching pajama set. How are there sexy matching pajamas? I don't know, but they did it. And I have these, and every time I put them on, I feel like I slip into an alter ego that I haven't come up with a name for yet. Henley's alter ego is Hadley, so I need to figure out my version of Hadley, maybe Sandy or something. But I swear I become a whole new person when I put on this soft lounge sleep set. I'm obsessed with it. It's so comfortable, and I want to give the gift of comfort to all my friends and family, and I would absolutely die of happiness to match with everybody in my Skims, and I think I'm going to make that happen, truly, on Christmas Day, so stay tuned. Maybe there'll be a photo of us in our matching Skims sets, but truly cannot recommend this soft lounge sleep set enough. Perfect gift idea. Everyone is going to love it. So shop Skims Holiday Shop at skims.com. Available in styles for women, men, kids, and even pets. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows.
We open. We got the classic, spooky, magical Disney Danny Elfman music. Little plucky, ominous strings. We're zooming through a forest. We get to a grove of trees. The camera's zooming around in a circle, showing each tree has a door with a symbol of a different holiday. A voiceover is telling us. A voiceover, which I'll note, does not appear ever again. This is the only time we get a voiceover.
Interesting.
It was a long time ago, longer now than it seems, in a place you've perhaps seen in your dreams. For the story you're about to be told took place in the holiday world of old. Now you've probably wondered where holidays come from. If you haven't, I'd say it's time you begun. Bam! We land on one tree that has a spooky, evil jack-o'-lantern on it, and the door opens up, and whoosh, we're whisked away into Halloween Town.
And whoosh.
And whoosh. We're in Halloween Town. And this is when we get the classic song that you guys are probably familiar with, the most famous one.
Halloween. This is Halloween.
And you know why I'm familiar with it?
They played on the Haunted Mansion.
There we go. Yeah, that's the only one I really know, like remember from this movie. So we're playing that song and we are zooming around Halloween Town. We're meeting all of our main characters. We're meeting all of our townspeople. I'm not going to sing you the song, but I will tell you. You already did it for me. I don't have to. And I'm just going to tell you some things we see because it's important to illustrate the scene. First of all, color palette, very dark, very gray, browns, grays, blacks, you know, very muted. We got some animated ghosts. We got some evil pumpkins squashed onto spikes. We got a monster with massive teeth and glowing red eyes hiding under a child's bed. We got the two-faced mare who is shaped kind of like a fucked up Hershey Kiss top, very thin, and his head like switches back and forth. So happy face on one side, angry, sad face on the other side. Mm. We have a werewolf with a busted shirt that kind of like looks like Elon Musk in a way.
I don't remember. A werewolf with a busted shirt that looks kind of like Elon Musk.
There's a werewolf with a busted shirt.
It caught me off guard. And I do have seen this movie many, many times. I'm going to have to Google this because I have no recollection of this werewolf with the busted shirt.
You know those pictures of Elon Musk naked on a yacht? You know, have you seen those pics of him shirtless on the yacht?
That I won't Google.
He has the exact same body type as this werewolf. That's all I'm saying. That's all I've seen.
Kind of like a block of cheese.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, so then we got a couple of super old witches. We have a big tree with some skeletons hanging on it. We have a, oh, this is scary. We have a massive fat clown with a tearaway face. He literally rips his face off into a black abyss.
Ooh, scary.
Ew.
Really don't like that. Then we've got Sally, voiced by Catherine O'Hara. She's one of our main characters. She's a sewn together science experiment. She's locked away. I loved her. That's, I think, why I like this movie so much. Yeah, I was obsessed with Sally. Yeah.
I feel like my mom had a patchwork dress that always reminded me of this. And
yeah, I think like the stitching of her really scared me.
Oh, well, Emily, there's a lot of limb stuff happening here.
That's true.
A lot of limb stuff. And so her limbs are coming off and being put back on.
Yeah, that maybe that's what it was about her that scared me.
Yeah.
It all needs to stay put.
And then we also have Oogie Boogie, who is a really fucked up character. But we're going to get more of him later. So everyone in town is parading around. They're overjoyed. They've never been happier. They're singing their This Is Halloween song. Oh, there's also some children in this. My favorite child is a pudgy little guy in overalls who has no eyes. They've been taken out and sewn shut. Oh. And he absolutely loves to use that guillotine. And then his brother is another small child who kind of has like bat wings for legs and like a head with bat wings that he like stomps around on. And sometimes the little pudgy one is walked around town by his huge, huge like boulder of a mother on a leash. And so that's another thing that's kind of going on in the background sometimes.
This is just so interesting when you think of them, they're like storyboarding and stuff. Sometimes I just, it's kind of fun to think about.
It's deeply upsetting.
How did they come up with this?
If they weren't so happy. Everyone is so happy and they just love to cause mayhem and pain.
They're doing what they love.
They love violence.
Yep. And it's Halloween Town after all.
They're just loving
it. They live in the right place and you love that for them.
Mm-hmm. They are eating this up. And then at the end of this parade is our main character, Jack Skellington. He is coming in on a wooden horse. He's dressed as a scarecrow. He's the pumpkin king. He lights himself on fire. Everyone is cheering, dancing around him. He shoots off the horse, lands in a fountain made of like green goo, and then emerges as his full self, a skeleton dressed in a tuxedo with no eyes and no hair. And everyone is loving it. They are like fucking obsessed with this guy. Like, this guy is like, I don't know.
He's kind of hot by Halloween Town standards, right?
I feel like I thought he was hot.
Hot. He's a sex icon. I mean, there are crazy things that are said to him throughout this film by the female coded characters.
Okay.
And
throwing themselves at him?
Yeah. I've written down some quotes.
Yeah. Be sure to let us know.
I definitely will. Moments. So he says, "Great Halloween, everyone. It was our most horrible yet. Thank you, everyone." And the mayor is saying, "We would be nowhere without your brilliant leadership, Jack. Like, we're obsessed with you." The mayor at first I thought was maybe being like deceitful because he's a two-faced politician. But no, I think the mayor just like genuinely is also in love with Jack Skellington. Mm. Sally's also looking on lovingly. She's obsessed with him. And then while she's looking at him, she's suddenly grabbed by the arm by a tiny man in a wheelchair who has little matrix sunglasses. And he says, "The deadly nightshade you gave me wore off, Sally. Come back with me. You're not ready for so much excitement." And he starts pulling her with him, and she protests and unravels her arm. She like takes the thread out of her arm, and he pulls her arm out, and she runs away, and all these dead bugs and leaves fall out of her body. Yes, so I'm sure little Emily didn't like that very much.
I didn't like that at all. Yeah. I still don't.
Meanwhile, Jack is being hit on by someone that looks like a true deep sea predator, like has like fish gills and huge lips. And she's saying, "You make wounds ooze and flesh crawl, Jack." And he's trying to like get away from all of his admiring fans because it's too much for him. And luckily, they're distracted by the mayor, who's announcing it's time to give away the annual Halloween prizes, the most blood drained in a single evening, for example. And that gives Jack an opening to sneak away and have some time for himself. Mm. So this is a man who is putting on a front. He is pretending to be the man he always has been, this Jack Skellington, leader of the town, who everyone can look up to, who can like uphold, you know, the mantle of Halloween every year. But he has just been doing it for too long.
It's weighing on him.
It's been too long. It's weighing on him. Ugh. It's not just weighing on him. He is over it. He's depressed.
He's lost his joy.
He's lost it. He's lost it. He's sulking. He walks past a little monster jazz trio that's playing a funeral dirge. He throws them some money. The saxophonist replies, "Nice work, Bone Daddy." And he sighs and says, "Yeah, I guess." And he says, "It was just like last year and the year before that and the year before that and the year before that." And he strolls on into the graveyard. And here he becomes a real thinking man. Mm-hmm. They really lay that on thick. He's doing like the thinking man pose nonstop for this entire song and for the next thing. His hand is permanently attached to his chin. He is searching for answers. He walks past a grave of a dog. He knocks on it. A little dog ghost floats out. This is his best friend, Zero. And he's just really trying to come to terms with this new feeling of depression, this new feeling of dissatisfaction. Sally also has followed him into the graveyard, not on purpose. She's there to pick some more of this deadly nightshade to poison her weird scientist father. And she's hiding behind a gravestone.
Kind of poor things-esque.
Mm-hmm. I know. I'm just thinking that.
It is. It is.
God.
God. And
Bella, love God.
She's loving everything she's hearing. We get the classic image of Jack walking up that steep hill with like the spiral at the end and the glowing full yellow moon in the background. He's singing about a longing he's never known. And Sally, you know, clutches her heart and says, "Jack, I know just how you feel." And he wanders out of the graveyard. She goes and picks some deadly nightshade, and cut to her back at home, putting it into a big jar that says deadly nightshade on it, right as her dad, it comes in, and he goes, "Sally, you've come back." And they're in their weird little tower that has like dark stone, wet walls, like a dungeon. And he's holding a lantern, and he's rolling around in his little wheelchair. And she says, I had to. And he says, for this. And he waves her severed arm at her. She says, yes. And he goes, shall we then? And he's so excited. He brings her to his lab and he sews her back up. And this guy's face is so upsetting. He has like a big head that he can open up, and he likes to open it up and he likes to massage his little brain in there and like do little like sticky things with his brain. And then he has these like little tiny eyes with his matrix sunglasses, and then a big old duck's bill with like tiny rotted teeth and big swollen gums. Ooh. And he's so gross. And he says, that's twice this month you've run off. And she goes, three times. And he goes, you're mine. I made you with my own hands. And she says, you can make other creations. I'm restless. And he says, it's a phase, dear. It will pass. And all of this, I couldn't remember if they were supposed to be like lovers in some way, which would have been like really inappropriate, but he's definitely supposed to be like a father figure to her.
But she's also like a prisoner.
Oh yeah, no, none of it's okay.
Oh, none of it's okay.
Certainly none of it. I'm not saying anyone should do any of this.
Don't sew together a woman and keep them in your little laboratory, your dark, wet,
not as your wife
walled.
Or your daughter.
Even if it's just your daughter.
No, don't do it.
Meanwhile, Jack is lost in thought during a walk in the woods. He's wandering through the woods. The dark night of the soul for Jack. He has zero following along.
So soon.
And the next morning, the mayor, who is very happy, humming, this is Halloween, goes
and
rings.
It's a catchy tune.
It gets stuck in your head. He goes and he rings Jack's doorbell. He has plans for next year's Halloween. He says, it's time to start planning. And when Jack doesn't answer, the mayor's face switches from his happy face to his sad face. And he gets so flustered and he falls down all the stairs and is so distraught, overly distraught, because Jack is gone. And he says, Jack, please, I'm only an elected official. I can't make decisions by myself. And then the sun rises and it's a massive evil jack-o'-lantern, of course. And Jack is still walking. And he finds himself in a grove of trees. The same grove of trees we saw in the beginning.
Oh, my God.
And
that's interesting. You go through the tree to get to the town, but you can walk through the town to get to the outside of the tree.
And even more confusing, at the end of the film, I think they might be in the real world and not in a holiday town at all. So I don't know what the physical laws of nature are in this world, but who cares?
Who cares?
So he picks a Christmas tree. That's the best one. He opens the door. He gets sucked in.
He's like, cute. This is Henley's birthday world.
He's like, Henley?
What a magical place.
How funny would it be if you just went back and it was like Jesus times and that's what the movie was, turned into Passion of Christ. No, it doesn't do that. Don't worry, guys.
Claymation Passion of the Christ.
Just a full recreation of Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ, but in claymation.
That's what I was expecting. I was shocked. That's not what happened.
Yeah, we were all shocked.
So then he falls down a spiral of snowflakes a la Alice in Wonderland, and he lands in a snowdrift at the top of a brand new town. We got totally different vibes. We have brand new vibes, everyone.
Does everybody have eyes in this town?
Everyone has eyes, and there's color. It's like a Coca-Cola commercial. There are adorable tiny little red houses glowing with warm light, covered in snow. There's a sparkling red and green Christmas decorations everywhere. Jack eats some snow and is delighted, and he's over the moon. I've never seen anyone show such excitement before. He sings a song called "What's This?" He goes, "What's this? What's this?
And is this
exactly?" See, Sammy,
great songs in this.
He's shocked by what he's seen. Here are some things he sees: a snowman holding an umbrella, little singing elves on a sleigh being pushed by a penguin, a wind-up polar bear giving some babies a ride, two babies kissing under mistletoe, children asleep everywhere, children asleep like on the floor, in dressers, like 10 to a bed, so many kids sleeping, beds made of candy canes, so much snow, so many cookies and cakes and everything.
I was gonna wait to say this at the end, but I simply can't contain myself. I have never enjoyed anything more than hearing you describe the visuals of this movie. I am absolutely floating with delight.
Bed, plane, Hanes, 10 kids to a bed, kids in drawers, 2 babies together, mistletoe.
Tumbling down a staircase of snowflakes. I'm having the time of my fucking life now. Good. I just needed you to know.
I'm so happy.
Unbelievable.
I'm so happy because when I watched this, I watched it twice. And the first time I watched it, I was like, how the fuck am I going to recap this movie? And then I was like, okay, I just need to pause it and actually say what's on the screen because it's batshit insane. Like, it's Tim Burton, obviously. So
you're doing perfect.
Okay.
Never stop. I never want this to end.
Okay. So I'm just going to tell you one more lyric from the song,
please,
which is, there's children throwing snowballs instead of throwing heads. They're busy building toys and absolutely no one's dead. And that was a really good line, I thought.
Mm-hmm. It's really good.
Then he passes out and he wakes up to see the sign Christmastown hovering over him and hearing Santa in the background going, ho, ho, ho. And he gets a look on his face like, oh, I have an idea.
Whenever I go into a store to pick up a bottle of wine, I end up staring at the seemingly endless options with absolutely no idea which one to pick until I end up inevitably panicking and grabbing, I don't know, whatever bottle has the prettiest label. And, you know, sometimes that works out, but a lot of the time I end up embarrassing myself in front of my friends that are much more knowledgeable about wine than I am, which is why I am so thankful for our next partner, Naked Wines. Naked Wines is a subscription service that directly connects you to the world's finest independent winemakers, so you can get award-winning wine delivered straight to your door. With my code TOOSCARY, you can get 6 bottles for just $39.99. I recently brought a bottle of wine I got from Naked Wines to a friend's house. It was Chris Kondo's Old Vine Zinfandel made with organic grapes. It was so smooth and juicy, and it was actually a big hit with all of my friends. I didn't have to walk home with my tail between my legs in shame. I got to hold my head up high because I brought a good wine for once. And another thing that I love about Naked Wines, and if you're clueless about wine like me, you'll appreciate this. You take a quiz to help you find the right selection for you, and as you try the wines, you can rate them, and Naked Wines gets to know your taste, so each shipment gets better and better. Ooh, Naked Wines is going to make a wine connoisseur out of me. Slowly but surely, you guys, we can do this. Wine doesn't have to be intimidating. Thanks to Naked Wines. So now is the time to join the Naked Wines community. Head to nakedwines.com/tooscary and put in my code tooscary for both the code and password for 6 bottles of wine for just $39.99 with shipping included. That's nakedwines.com/tooscary. And code TOOSCARY for 6 bottles of wine for $39.99.
Thank you to Aura Frames for sponsoring this podcast.
Yes, thank you, Aura Frames.
Jake, you have one of these.
Of course I do. I have several, actually.
It's a digital picture frame that you give to loved ones, like your parents, and then you can upload photos as they come in, and they get to see those photos wherever they are in the world.
Mm-hmm. It's simple, it's easy, and it brings joy. What's better?
Nothing better than joy this holiday season. It's easy to set up and it's the perfect gift for any occasion. And you can get free unlimited storage and the photos look like real prints.
Yeah.
It's fun, it's interactive, and there's nothing family likes more than new pictures of new family members.
It's true. Sometimes my mom will text me and be like, we need more photos.
Now. So right now, Aura has a great deal. And you can go to AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping of their best-selling frame.
Wow.
If you use code HEADGUM.
HEADGUM!
That's Aura, A-U-R-A, frames.com. Use code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM.
That's right. Terms and conditions apply.
Of course.
Thank you, Aura Frames.
So, back in Halloween Town, everyone's very worried about Jack. The mayor is having a tough time. He's on his moving vehicle. It's kind of like a hearse, and it has a loudspeaker attached to it. And he's, you know, going around the town saying, have you looked in the mausoleum? Look everywhere for Jack. Jack's missing. And everyone's looking for him. They sound an alarm, which is just a cat. Unfortunately, it's a cat. And they wind the cat's tail. And the cat opens its mouth really wide, you know, wailing.
It would work.
God, the other night, Chi-Chi started screaming louder than we've ever heard her scream. Ever. We were both jolted awake. Like, what is, is someone, a cat is dying. And she just like wanted to come cuddle in bed and just needed to scream about it.
So
it would work.
Feelings.
Just saying it would work.
Oh, yes. So Sally then goes to poison her creator again. She throws some more deadly nightshade into his soup, but it smells really bad. And he kind of catches on to her a little bit until
fool me once.
But then she, and this, for some reason, this I really remembered too from my childhood. She tricks him by dropping the spoon and replacing it with a slotted spoon. And then she, you know, pretends to take a sip.
Yes, and I do remember that.
I don't know why that like stuck in my brain so well. Maybe it's because right after that, he opens up his skull and massages his brain, thinking about whether or not to drink the soup. And he's doubtful, but then he decides to gulp it down. And it's disgusting. It all over his face and making the grossest noises you've ever heard. And she's delighted. She runs down free for a moment. So the townspeople are all splayed out in the middle of the town square. They've given up. Who knows how long it's been? An hour, a couple hours? I think it's maybe been one day. They're all like drained of life and they can't get up. They're all lying down. But then they hear in the distance barking. Hope returns their eyes.
Zero.
Jack's returned. And he's on a Christmas sleigh loaded up with a bunch of Christmas goodies in the back. And the mayor says, "Where have you been, Jack?" And Jack says, "Call a town meeting and I'll tell you." And the mayor says, "When?" And he says, "Immediately."
He sort of grinched Christmas town.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's going to get so much worse, but yes. So Sally tucks Mr. Scientist in and heads to the town meeting. Jack gets up there and he tells everyone about Christmas town. He is like, "I have this new thing I have to show you guys." He has a Christmas tree set up, which is really just like an old decrepit tree. Put some lights on. He has a wrapped present. He has a stocking. And he's trying to show everyone to explain to them Christmas. But the townspeople, they are not getting it. Like when they see the stocking, they say, "Is there a foot inside of it? Is the foot rotted? Was it taken off a body? Is it dead?" And he's like, "No, you're not getting it. No, you fill it with toys. You fill it with toys." And they're like, "Why not severed body parts?" And he's like, "No, you guys don't fucking get it." And he's worried because he wants his fellow citizens, who he loves and cares for so much, he wants them to understand the special kind of feeling that Christmastown gave him. Christmastown gave him a special feeling and he needs to share it with his friends.
A warm, fuzzy feeling, I presume.
Mm-hmm. He doesn't have the vocabulary. He doesn't have the language.
He doesn't have the tools yet.
Okay.
So he goes home determined to get those tools. He goes home determined to recreate it. So then we get our research montage. And it's really great. He's reading up on Christmas. He's reading books that are just called Rudolph or another book called First Noel. He has spider webs that are covered in Christmas lights and Zero is sucking on a candy cane. And he's saying there has got to be a logical way to explain this Christmas thing. And then he says, "I know." And he goes and gets another book. And this book is called The Scientific Method. And so he is onto something here. Then we cut to scientist who is locking Sally away. He said, "You poisoned me for the last time, you wretched girl." And he locks her in the dungeon. And then he hears a knock on the door and he goes and opens it, and it's Jack Skellington who's there to say he needs to borrow some equipment so he can run some experiments. So then he goes back home, and he's got his scientific equipment. He's got his microscope. He's got his beakers. He's running all different experiments. Nothing is going right, though. He's trying to make snowflakes out of paper. Every time he does it, turns into a spider. Doesn't look like a snowflake. He's opening up teddy bears. And there's nothing inside the teddy bear that's helping him. And he's looking at berries under a microscope, nothing there. And he is saying, "What does it mean?" He's getting so mad. "What does it mean?" He's so frustrated. Meanwhile, Sally is running some experiments of her own. She's making a special bottle of wine and she places it in a little gift basket and lowers it with a rope and pulley down to the ground. Then she jumps out of her tower by like removing her body parts and then stitches herself back up once she lands on the ground. And yeah, you see more of the leaves and bugs falling out of her body, which is pretty nasty.
Does it help a little bit that she's in charge of removing her own limbs?
Mm. Not for me.
Mm. Mm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Though I will admit it comes in handy in this moment.
It comes in handy a lot. She's really resourceful with her limbs. So she walks over to Jack's house with her gift basket, and he's doing a bunch of math experiments on a chalkboard, continuing to try to figure out Christmas, when he's interrupted by Sally's delicious gift basket. It includes a fish skeleton and a bottle of liquid that turns into a butterfly when he opens it. But when he goes to thank her, she's run away. She's hiding in the graveyard. She's feeling shy. She's picking leaves off a dead flower. Remember doing that? Like, he loves me, he loves me not. Mm-hmm. That's a thing. Mm-hmm. And suddenly the flower turns into a Christmas tree. But then suddenly it self-immolates, completely lights on fire. Hmm. And she's shocked. And you see her see, like, danger's coming. Something bad is about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Townspeople are singing. The vampires are singing. They're saying something's up with Jack. This is also when we see the ogre-like woman walking around with a pudgy child on a leash. Everyone's like, what's going on with Jack? So at the end of all of these like scientific experiments, he's frustrated. Nothing's working. At first, he seems like he's going to give up. But then he says, no, I can't figure this out. So my solution to this is I'm going to make Christmas ours. I'm going to turn whatever the fuck is going on over there. I'm going to go take that and I'm going to bring it over here. Mm. And we're just going to do Christmas the Halloween way. Because I can't solve the solution, so I'm going to create a new solution. He gets super excited and starts handing out Christmas assignments to everyone in the town. Jack asks the scientist to make him reindeer. He gives the Oogie Boogie Boys, who are the three little boys who help Oogie Boogie, the most important job, which is a secret assignment not to tell a soul about. And they all are like, hee hee, like, of course, like, oh yeah, we can trust us. Of course, we won't tell anyone. Don't worry, don't worry, don't worry. And meanwhile, they have their little fingers crossed behind their back. And that's another thing. Remember doing
classic.
That.
Oh.
Fingers behind your back.
Uh-oh.
And so he whispers in their ear to like, this is what you guys have to do. And we don't hear what it is. But then they run off and they sing a whole big song about how they've been told to kidnap Sandy Claus.
Mm.
They call him Sandy Claus. Mm. Sandy Claus. And they give him to Mr. Oogie Boogie. And Sally goes to tell Jack to stop this. She says, I've had a vision. Christmas would be a disaster. This is a mistake. But he ignores her and he says, it's going to be awesome. Don't worry about it. Just make me a Santa Claus outfit. She's like, no, no, it's going to be bad. And then from that point on, their conversation is he thinks she's talking about the Santa Claus outfit. And she's trying to tell him, no, the whole thing is bad. And it's, you know, very funny.
A little miscommunication.
Mm-hmm. He tells a man, oh, I forgot to tell you about another one of my favorite characters. There's a guy who has dark rings around his eyes and a bald head and wears overalls and just has an axe stuck in his head. And he's so cute and nice. And so everyone is hard at work. Oh, wait. So that guy has been told to make nutcrackers. And right as he's been giving the assignment by Jack, Lock, Shock, and Barrel, the three little boys, run back in with a big old sack. And they're like, it's Sandy Claus. It's Sandy Claus. And they open it up and it's a big pink bunny. And then the guy with the axe in his head goes, oh, the Easter bunny.
Oh, no.
It's been another mix up.
Oh, chaos.
The chaos. So Jack tells him, this is it. This is not Santa Claus. You need to return him. You need to go get Santa. Treat him nicely. Don't be mean to him. We're giving him a vacation.
Put him in a sack.
Bring him here. Tell him he doesn't have to work this year. We're doing him a favor. Everyone is hard at work at their Christmas assignments in Halloween Town. They're smashing cars. They're guillotining baby dolls. They're putting bloody bullet holes in wooden ducks. And then the doctor scientist is using electricity to reincarnate skeletons of horses to make them into reindeer. And time is counting down till Christmas, until finally we're only 2 days away. So we're 2 days to Christmas. You know, we go back to Christmas Town. We see Santa. He's going over the naughty or nice list. Who's been naughty? Who's been nice? Everyone's all little elves. Happily
really down
work.
To the wire here, Santa.
I know. Also, where have Lock, Shock, and Barrel been? It's been like a month. How could they not figure out how to kidnap Santa by now? Anyway, so now they've gotten around to it. The doorbell rings. He hears trick or treat outside. He goes and answer it. It's the three naughtiest kids you've ever met in your life. They throw him into a bag, take him to Halloween Town. While Sally, she has made Jack his Santa Claus outfit, she's continuing to tell him, this isn't right. This isn't you. Something's wrong. You need to stop this. He's dismissing her. He's saying, don't worry. It's all great. It's going to be so much fun. So Lock, Shock, and Barrel burst in. They have Santa in their sack. Santa comes out. He's rightfully upset. Where am I?
as is his right.
Yeah, it's his right to be upset. He's been kidnapped by three naughty boys.
Jack says, like, consider this a vacation. This is a reward for all the good work you've been doing. We just want you to be comfortable. Don't worry. Sit back, relax. Halloween Town has got Christmas this year. And then he takes Santa's hat and puts it on his head. And Santa is carted off by Lock, Shock, and Barrel. And Sally's like, oh, this is worse than I thought. Much worse. And then the three kids bring Santa to Oogie Boogie. And Santa's saying things like, haven't you heard of peace on earth? Haven't you heard of goodwill towards men? These things mean nothing to them. And it's not working. The message is not getting across. And they shove Santa into this little tiny chute, and he goes down this long dark chute into Oogie Boogie's lair. All this is like really scary, I think. Like the shoving him into this tiny little like space and like forcing him down there. Ugh, it's so
well, that's
gross.
Kind of Santa's thing though.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. But a chimney is usually shorter, I think. And it doesn't land in Oogie Boogie's lair. Mm. But I agree.
And now who or what is Oogie Boogie?
I'm going to get to that.
Okay. You're really building up the suspense here. I got to know.
So then Sally goes back to Mr. Scientist's prison area and she steals some fog juice from him. And while she's there, she sees him creating something else. So he's busy on a new creation. I think he's kind of given up on Sally, which is a relief to her. Anyway, Santa lands in Oogie Boogie's lair. And this is when we get Oogie Boogie's introduction. It is jazzy. It is fun. It's a black light with like neon lights everywhere. We got a casino, an underground basement casino vibe. And Oogie Boogie is a burlap sack filled with bugs.
Oh.
That's literally Oogie Boogie. He's a burlap sack filled with bugs. And the thing that I realized while watching this too is, have you guys seen Moana?
Yes, but not Moana 2.
Don't worry. You don't have to have seen Moana 2 to understand this. Remember that?
What about Moana, the live action recreation of the movie Moana?
No, not that one either. Okay. Do you remember the song Shiny? By the crab,
yeah.
Song by the crab.
Yes.
It's actually a lot of it is taken from this. Like, that's the
Lynn.
Yeah. Lynn, you have some explaining to do. It's like the same kind of like jazzy, vibrant. It's like a dark space, but everything is neon and blacklit.
Yeah. It's like, ooh, welcome to my place. It's
exactly.
Spooky down here.
Exactly. Except he's evil. And so he's like putting Santa on a, he's like spreading Santa out, like spread eagle, and like strapping him down and like throwing knives at him and like spinning him around and like putting like, I don't know, like just sicking all this like shit on him. And it's really upsetting. And
it's fucked
Santa's,
up is what it is.
Santa's really upset.
And he should be rightfully upset.
He's rightfully pretty upset.
Think about this man. Think about what this man is going through. He has spent his whole life in Christmas Town. He spent years, centuries there.
It looks like Henley's massaging her brain right now as she's like trying
as
to
I thought,
think about it.
Swirl it around like some soup. Anyway, so Sally pours the fog juice into the fountain. I think it's Christmas Eve. Everyone's prepared. So Jack is already set to go. He has his sleigh, which is a coffin. He has his reanimated horse carcasses as his reindeer. And he is ready to go. The whole townspeople are so excited. And she pours the fog juice into the fountain. It rises up. It spreads through the town. And at first, it seems like the night is ruined. The little boy whose eyes are sewn shut starts crying. And he says, there goes Christmas. But Jack fights through the fog and he says, no, it's going to be okay. I got this. And he takes off in his sleigh, and the townspeople cheer. And so Sally tried, but it didn't work. And she's like, fuck, well, I hope my premonition was wrong.
And so she's like, fuck, fuck.
Fuck, I tried. Guess I didn't try. Didn't fucking work, though.
I guess I didn't fucking try, man. Fuck.
She sings a really sad song about how she thinks they're never going to end up together. She thought she was the one. She's not the one. And she's really sad.
Sally, he hasn't really been good to you.
He's not listening. He's not being kinda, a good listener.
Yeah, hasn't really even acknowledged you very much.
I don't know that I want this for you.
I definitely don't want it. It's sending the wrong signal to little girls everywhere like me who watch this being like, I want to be like Sally. Let me be like Sally. Love a man who won't talk to me. So Jack flies through the air. I watched this with Tim, and Tim made the very obvious point that he's now in the real world. He's supposed to be like in the real world. I thought he was flying back to Christmastown to like do Christmas in Christmastown.
Sure. He's like giving Christmas to the real world.
Yeah. Like that's the point of these towns is to like do the holiday for us humans, you know, which I don't know why I like wasn't even thinking about that. Anyway, so he's now in the quote unquote real world, and he, so excited over the moon. Can't wait. This is going to be the best Christmas ever. He lands on his first house. He sneaks downstairs. We see a little boy in his bed. He hears Santa. He wakes up. He sneaks downstairs to see if he can see him. And he walks into his living room and he sees Jack by the Christmas tree. He's taking a present out of his bag. You know, this is not the Santa you expect to see. He is a skeleton. And the little boy is like, you know, obviously a little bit like, oh, scared. And Jack is like, oh, don't be scared. Like, little boy, I brought you something here. And he gives him a present and it's a box. And the little boy opens it and screams. And it's a severed head inside the box. Yeah. And it's the original What's in the Box.
It's What's in the Box.
And I was like, there's so many things I've been taking from this movie. So he's screaming.
We owe it all to Tim.
And
Burton.
Then cue a montage of, you know, mayhem. We're seeing the police answering phone calls with people screaming, saying I'm being attacked by Christmas toys. There's a little boy. He's watching a snake eat his Christmas tree. Hmm. There's like that kind of thing. And then
over sort of that kind of thing.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
And then over the news, we hear that military units are mobilizing to stop this heinous crime. Jack is oblivious to people's unrest. That's the theme with Jack. It seems he's really
take some responsibility.
Very single-minded, which is, you know, I guess is like talent and his fault. You know, it's what makes him who he is. Mm. Kind of like Tim Burton, actually, probably. Mm-hmm. So then he flies over a prison, which has cannons, and they start firing cannons into the air at him. And he thinks they're celebrating him. He doesn't get it. He still doesn't get it. Meanwhile, back in Halloween Town, Sally tries to break out Santa Claus from Oogie Boogie. She uses one of her limbs. She like puts her limb through the door and shakes it at Santa Claus and is like, ooh, hello, come over here. Oh, shakes it at Oogie Boogie. It's like, come over here. And Oogie Boogie at first is tricked. And meanwhile, she's like untying Santa Claus.
Well, at the end of the day, they're both sacks filled with bugs.
I know. They're meant for each other. You're so right. I don't know why Sally can't see that. So Oogie Boogie catches her. So now Sally's imprisoned too with Santa Claus. No. Poor Sally. Things are not going well.
She's rightfully pretty upset, I bet.
She's like doing so much. She's doing so much in this movie.
It's hard to be Sally.
It's hard. So one important thing to note is that the townspeople have this magical well where they can look into it and see what Jack is up to. And so they're all watching Jack back in Halloween Town, and they watch as he starts to get hit by these cannons. And Jack starts to realize, oh my God, they're trying to hit me. And all the townspeople are wailing and screaming, oh no, Jack, Jack. And we can see that Jack gets hit really badly, and the whole coffin reindeer thing goes down.
Oh no.
And the mayor loses his shit. He loses it. He starts riding around in his hearse screaming, "Jack has been blown to smithereens. Jack is dead," on his loudspeaker, saying it over and over again. It's not a big town. I don't think he needs to do it as much as he's doing it. But Sally and Santa Claus here, and things are looking pretty great for them. So Jack has fallen into a graveyard onto an angel statue, and the wreckage of what he's caused is around him. You know, these dead reindeer are even more dead now. And I don't know where Zero is. And there's like, you know, presents and stuff everywhere. And he wakes up and he's stunned. And he realizes what's happened. And he's being cradled in the arms of this angel. And he starts singing this very mournful song. He's so regretful. He's feeling so embarrassed. But the same thing that happened in that earlier song happens here, where he really works himself out of it through the song. You know, he works through these emotions in real time. He's feeling sad, but then he kind of starts singing like, no, I did a fucking great job at Christmas. Like, I actually nailed Christmas. And like, I got that special feeling back. I felt a way I had not felt in years. And I gave that feeling to my friends. And like, I have nothing to be embarrassed about. Like, I'm the fucking pumpkin king, skeleton king. I'm better than ever. I'm going back to my town. I'm just going to like keep killing it. I'm the best. Which is, you know, a skill. Like, I'm inspired by this guy. Like, I wish I could do this.
Men are amazing.
Yeah, men are so cool. And meanwhile, Oogie Boogie is torturing Sally and Santa Claus. And he is threatening to dump them into a pit full of acid. Sure. And he's like, lifted the board all the way up. So you think they've slid into the pit of acid. And then he pulls the board back up and it's Jack. Jack has somehow come back. I mean, I guess he came back. He heard Sally crying. I don't know. He like somehow got on the board. And then Jack and Oogie Boogie face off. Oogie Boogie's trying to kill him. Jack is doing cartwheels around this casino-like dungeon. He is fending him off at every step. And he finally gets Oogie Boogie and he just pulls this one thread. And the whole burlap sack falls apart. And inside is just thousands of creepy, crawly worms that fall into the pit of acid and like screech and scream and writhe and steam. And Oogie Boogie's going, "My bugs, my bugs," or someone saying that. I don't know who's saying it because he was just bugs.
He is the bugs.
He literally is the bugs.
My bugs, the me.
A burlap sack being unraveled and it's just a fuck ton of bugs is like
nasty,
nasty shit. And I can't believe I was watching this as a 7-year-old. Also, how old was I?
What's Oogie Boogie's motivation here? Why does he all of a sudden want to kill everybody? Why doesn't he worship Jack Skellington the same way as everybody else?
I think he's just having fun. And I think that's why Tim Burton didn't think he was a villain. He was like, this dude's just having fun. But you know what? That doesn't make someone not a villain. There are too many people out there, too many psychopaths.
Fun to one person.
Pennywise has lots of fun.
Yeah. Really depends who you're asking.
I would like to hear Tim Burton's explanation of Oogie Boogie. I'm sure we'll have people send messages explaining why Oogie Boogie is not a villain. So let me know. Jack apologizes to Sally. He says, "I haven't been listening to you. You were right. I'm so sorry." And she's like, "It's okay, Jack. I forgive you." She says, "I hope there's still time." And Santa Claus says, "To fix Christmas? Of course there's still time. I'm Santa Claus." Nothing can get this guy down. He is fine. He is totally fine. Santa Claus races back to Christmastown. We get a montage of him replacing all the evil toys with good ones. We hear over the news, Christmas has been saved. Santa Claus is back. Children are cheering. Everyone is happy. Jack has a triumphant return on the mayor's hearse. The little boy with the eyes sewn shut hangs on his leg, just looking with no eyes adoringly at him. And Santa rides by on his sleigh and says, happy Halloween. And then it starts.
No bad blood.
Everything's fine. It's the power of Christmas, the Christmas fucking spirit, man. And then it starts snowing. It starts snowing Halloween Town, a thing that has never happened before. And we get more of the, what's this? What's this? It's very, very strange. What's this? What's this? We get vampires ice skating. We get the axe boy doing snow angels. We get the little boy with no eyes rolling through the snow.
What's the werewolf with the busted shirt up to?
I don't know. I didn't track his movements as well as I should have. I didn't know you guys would like the fact that Elon Musk as much as he did. And we see Mr. Scientist. He's created a new creation. It's him as a woman. So it's just him dressed as a woman.
Interesting. This one is his wife?
I think so.
Commentary.
And then
still not okay with
we're him. Back in the graveyard. We're back on the rolling, spiraling hill. This time, Jack is serenading to Sally, telling her he loves her. They're embracing and they kiss while Zero happily looks on, and then credits, the end.
Wow.
Huh. What's the message?
I was going to say, did Jack learn anything?
No, I think what he learned was the power of Christmas, and that happened at the very beginning of the film. And then he learned that it's a feeling you give people instead of like presents you give people. I think that's okay. Kind of what that's supposed to be the message at the end.
Anti-capitalist message. We like that.
I don't know.
Maybe he learned that like newness is important, you know,
evolve.
Shake up your routine every once in a while.
Yeah, shake it up. And
I was excited
because to women, but, you know, he learned that.
He did learn that. I was excited because this one on Disney, you can stream it on Disney, and it's supposed to come with all these like bonus features. So I was like, oh, great. I'll be able to watch some kind of commentary, or there'll be like some background of making the movie, like some more to flesh it out. You guys, I'm not fucking kidding. You want to know what like the main thing they have?
Yes.
Nightmare Before Christmas, as told by emojis. It's a phone with different emojis as the Nightmare Before Christmas characters doing the entire texting the entire plot of the movie back and forth to each other on the phone. That's one of the features. And then there's a trailer you can watch. And then there's like two or three like storyboarded deleted scenes that I didn't bother watching because who said, you know, it's a good idea? Let's recap a movie using emojis? What?
Yeah, huh. Someone with the Nightmare Before Christmas original, I don't know, DVD. Tell us what features we're being robbed of.
I know.
Yeah.
I want to know. Yeah, it's a really like, it's a visual feast. There's definitely a lot to look at. It's very impressive that it was made in 1993. It feels like really advanced for 1993.
I feel like they were doing really cool like claymation and stop motion in the 90s, maybe early 2000s. When was like Chicken Run Wallace and Gromits? Freaking love those.
I forgot about Chicken Run.
Chicken Run was so good.
There's also a horror movie that came out this year called Stop Motion with the main actress from The Nightingale in it that I been meaning to watch. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, okay, good to know. Is it a stop motion or is it just called stop motion?
It is. I think she plays someone that is a stop motion artist, so there are stop motion elements to it, but it is also live action.
I think I've heard of this actually, where it has like, someone was saying it was like Hereditary with a dollhouse.
Yeah, I think it's pretty fucked up. I've been wanting to watch it.
Okay, well, maybe that can be next week.
No, I've got next week all figured out.
Are you not going to tell me? You're not going to tell me. You're going to make it a surprise.
We'll do a surprise.
Oh my God, what's it going to be? I think I had a dream last night that I was like watching a horror movie with my mom, and I was trying to like tell her that it was going to be okay. I was like, don't worry, mom. It's fine. I was like, look, fine. Look, he kills that person, but not the other person.
Totally fine.
It's only a little gruesome. Ay, ay, ay. Anyway, it was like fun to revisit this. My main reaction is shock that I was watching it as a child. And
I got to say, Henley, I feel like it's maybe because your mom, because it doesn't sound too bad to me. I don't feel too shocked about it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's hard to do. I think that I was imagining.
A sack filled with bugs is not that bad.
I know.
It's not that bad.
I know. But Sammy, we're really different people. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Have you forgotten about that?
Yeah. But I feel like I watched like Poltergeist when I was in grade school, probably older than 7, but. As far as like seeing a horror movie too early, like you could do worse than.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, like this one, it didn't traumatize me.
Just as being a kid's movie.
Yeah. No, I liked it. I watched it all the time when I was a kid.
But I feel like a lot of kids' movies have fucked up shit in it, as we know.
That's true. They do.
They really do.
Pinocchio? Don't even freaking get me started. I know.
Pinocchio is the worst.
Pinocchio's so fucking scary.
Well, because kids' movies are all about like kids' parents dying and then them getting lost and. Being like eaten by
and like
villain.
naughty kids having really bad shit happen to them. Fucking Willy Wonka. Oh my god, that movie scared me.
Yep.
Willy Wonka is fucking scary. Kids are dying. Kids are turning into blueberries. Like the blueberry part was the scariest part for me.
It is scary.
I don't really know why of all the things in Willy Wonka that part scared me the most, but
you don't want someone to mess with your physical form. You're like,
don't mess with my physical form. I'm always saying that. Don't mess with my physical form.
Thanks for listening. Love you guys so much.
I mean, that was
a real treat.
That was
a real
so
Christmas treat.
Soothing to me. I really loved it. I really loved it.
Oh, thanks, you guys. Thank you. We have to watch the trailer.
I know that we're going to freaking pay for it next week with whatever Sammy has in store, but for now, I'm just going to enjoy what we had.
I know.
We had a nice frictionless time today.
Nice frictionless time.
I'm going to do some serious research. I'm going to have my own research montage into mid-scary horror movies. Mid-tier.
Mid-level scares. Well, okay, yeah. We'll be back next week. I think, is next week going to be our last episode before the break? Or before Christmas?
That's a great question.
I guess we don't have to decide right now.
Yeah, maybe not. We'll freaking not.
Stay tuned. You know. We will let you know. We love you all so very much.
So very much.
And... from all of us here, a true scary didn't watch.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Goodbye.
That was pretty good. We did it. We made it. Thank you all for listening to another episode of Too Scary Didn't Watch.
If you enjoy the show, please remember to subscribe and rate us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. 5 stars only, or we will haunt you.
And if you simply can't get enough of us, we have good news for you. We have lots of bonus content available on our Patreon at patreon.com/TSDWpodcast.
You'll get access to video trailer reactions, 2 bonus episodes a month, the power to vote for upcoming episodes, and more.
And last but not least, you can follow us on social media at TSDWpodcast.
We'll be back next week with a new episode.
We love you.
That was a HeadGum podcast.
Lights are going up, snow is falling down. There's a feeling of goodwill around town. It could only mean one thing. McRib is here. People throwing parties, ugly sweaters everywhere. Stockings hung up by the chimney with care. It could only mean one thing. McRib is here.
At participating McDonald's for a limited time.